Hello and welcome back to the Kinkster's Attic. Back with another episode, and as always, I would like to thank you so much for turning in, listening to the podcast. I know I said this numerous times, especially in the last update video that I did, but it has mean so much to me. And if you are a new listener, please feel free to check out past episodes or follow this podcast on Spotify to keep up to date. I know some people with guests, they, you know, share links to this podcast for their episode. So if you're listening to this episode and you haven't listened to the other episodes, go check those out. You might enjoy them. Anyway, moving on. I am back with a new guest, and my guest for episode 27 is Diffy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. So I know that we've talked before the podcast recording started, and normally I ask my guests to talk about how they got into their kinks. So would you tell us about your kink journey, as it were?
Sure. Yeah. I'd say that when I was probably 10 or 11 years old, I was pretty certain I knew I was gay. And I think from there, I started to understand that I was into certain kinks. I think specifically the first one was with feet. And that didn't really go anywhere, like in terms of like active, like pursuing with other people. Like, I'm from a small town and nobody was really out of the closet there. And I was also a pretty heavy person. I've been a heavy person most of my life. And that kind of acts as a shield to kind of like, I can't get a girlfriend because I'm too big and I don't have the confidence to do it. And that worked pretty well. So mostly my interest was just like in like friends around me. I've heard a lot on your show, like people talking about like cartoons and movies. Like, I know people, adults working on them, are like injecting their kink into their creative works like that. They have to be.
Well, in a safe way, you know, they're not like Dan Schneider or anything.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. No, the more innocent side of things where it's kind of like funny, but when you think about it, like, yeah, that might've been a kink from there.
Yeah.
When they're thinking about it.
Yeah. Definitely fueling a generation of kinksters.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of like think of my background in kink has been kind of like in three major phases. There was like pre-grinder and post-gathering, and then the grinder phase. I think those are the three big phases for me.
That's actually something that I find interesting. Like, how successful have you been with kinks on grinder? Because I keep hearing guys tell me about that, and I don't know how successful that is.
It is a mixed bag, and I think it's very dependent on your area, because I feel like you're kind of more in an isolated area. I'm kind of near the Capital District in New York, so I have some luck. I do travel on occasion, going to like Philly, Boston, and usually when I'm in the city and I know if I'm just in a weekend, I'm pretty certain on Grindr I can find someone to do something over that weekend.
Okay, yeah. So someone has told me to try that, to find like kinksters in my area. And I'm like, well, if there's not that many in my area, though, how is it going to be helpful for me?
You might meet a person or two. Like, so Grindr has like tags or ways to categorize, and you can specify that you're into kinks specifically. And they have some specific ones like feet. They don't have anything for tickling. I've tried to like submit like, hey, add a tag for tickling, because there are people that are into that. But Grindr is its own weird animal. Like, when you first reached out to me, I thought of potential topics, and mental health came to mind, and Grindr is very transactional. Like, you will find some people on there for kinks, and there are other on there that are just looking for hookups. It is very impersonal, very let's quickly identify what we're looking for, meet up, and then hope everything goes well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something, you know, I remember we talked about that, and, you know, that's something that I really would love to have. Like, I mentioned that I do like kink safety too on here sometimes. Yeah. And I believe that kink is a spectrum, and mental health is part of that spectrum. And these things have to be talked about, I believe.
Yeah. And like, when you're it's 1 a.m. and you're talking with somebody with no profile picture, and they're like, yeah, come over, we'll do this thing. you're taking a risk. Like certain circumstances that where you identify you want to engage in your kink and you are kind of limited in what you can do, that will increase, depending on the person, I guess, increase how willing you are to take a risk. And that can have, I've been fairly lucky, but I'm sure there are people that have had bad experiences that range from like consent violations to something even more violent or dangerous. So like
you to have having to, a guy want them to meet them in a van in the middle of nowhere.
That's what essentially a lot of my experiences on Grindr has been. Like on occasion, you'll get to chat a little bit and get to know the person, see pictures of them and kind of like take it a little slower. But a lot of people, it's just like, let's do it. Yeah. Let's quickly get to it. And then you just kind of have to.
Yeah. Well, I said that because I longtime listeners know about my van story.
So I'm assuming you met up with somebody in a van and it just didn't go well.
Thankfully I did not. They were, so if you're a veteran listener, I do apologize for repeating this. So I met a guy a few years back in my 20s online, and he was very interested in my feet. He was very interested in tickling them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we both had similar kind of kinks and fetishes. So I thought, okay, this is kind of cool. So he told me about this van idea. He had a white van, and he said that he could hogtie me in the back of it and tickle my feet. And for someone who has, like, you know, like a fantasy fetish, that's kind of interesting. But my red flag went up whenever he said, oh, by the way, it has to be somewhere remote. And as I said before the podcast started, you know, I live in a remote area, and he's thought my area wasn't remote enough. So yeah, that was a major red flag.
Yeah. And that's kind of what you have to do, is you get a temperature read, you look for red flags, and at a certain point you have to know when it's not worth the risk. And I've had to do that a lot of times myself. I'm actively talking with somebody right now who has a similar fetish where they're like, I want to rent an Airbnb that's kind of isolated and you come and do things to me. And I'm just like carefully gauging every step along the way and just like deciding if it's something I actually would follow through with, or maybe he's just fantasizing. I don't know.
It's also, well, there are safe ways to do fantasizing. I remember when I was in my mid 20s, I had a guy want to tie me up and tickle my feet, and we were both interested in role playing. So what we did is, you know, on the day that we met, we talked for like 5-10 minutes. And, you know, we basically went over what we want to do. So he knew from talking online for a few months that I was into this kind of stuff. So, you know, it was safe because I knew from talking with him and through talking with him in person several times that he was okay. But you're right, you never know. You know, especially if you only talk once or twice, and you know, anyone can be anyone online.
yeah that's unfortunately the nature of Grindr's, that it is very like, I've done other sources for meeting up with people, Craigslist before it got shut down, and then DoubleList now is kind of the new equivalent of it that can sometimes meet a person there, but it's without like being able to connect in other ways, they're very risky for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's like that anywhere too. Like I also have other connections too. Like I use, FetLife. That's it. Yeah. I use FetLife a lot. Yeah. FetLife, I can usually find, you know, feet, tickling, bondage, enthusiasts. Since I'm into like, but if I'm into like really older men, I also use a site called Silver Daddies, it's called. So, you know, that's how I tend to vet stuff.
My personal experience is that if it comes to meeting people online, my main objective is to try to meet up with them in person and actually do things. Cause like there are a lot of people out there, especially on like the apps and sites like this, that just want to talk. And I think that's great for them. But me personally, I would prefer to get at, like, determine if we're able to meet up with each other and if we can decide what we're going to do with each other and then execute, like, meet up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the unfortunate thing with me, though, is I like to talk in depth before I decide. So in the past, some who want to meet up have mistaken that for just wanting to just talk and no action, even though I need to talk to where I feel comfortable enough.
Yeah, that's fair. And I'm always willing, like I always offer too. It's like, do you want to have like an initial meetup just to chat? We don't have to play. Let's get to know each other. Let's kind of talk about what we're looking for and kind of like get to know each other's people.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Yeah. Something I've kind of realized about myself over the last few years is that I'm more demisexual, where the experience is more enjoyable for me when I know the person and it's not just a stranger that I met 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly. And that goes back to what we were saying before about kink safety. You know, you just never know. you know, not that everyone is a sexual deviant, but you know, you never know nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. And like, there's the side of safety that is obvious, where you might be in a dangerous situation. There's the side of kink safety, like the mental health side, which might not be as obvious. So these three phases that I've kind of mentioned before, where it's just like everything up until Grindr, like was probably till my mid-20s. I'm 36 years old. So up until my mid-20s, I largely didn't engage with other people. It was a lot of like theoretical, like porn sites. I'm not a huge like mainstream porn and fetish porn like consumer, but it was what I had at the time. And then like that definitely didn't help with like self-confidence issues, where it's just like nobody seems to be interested in me. It's very hard for me to connect with people. Like I need to work on myself, like what's wrong with me? And then once Grindr comes along, it's much easier to find people who can find something interested in me. It may not be the whole thing, but it's just like, oh, I like your feet, or I like your butt. Like I want to do this specific thing with you. And then you kind of have that negotiation where it's like, well, I'm willing to do that if you're willing to do this for me. And it's just like, we kind of have this handshake, we meet up, and then it's like, oh, there actually are people who are interested in me in some way. And then you get up, you have these experiences with each other, and then it's just an immediate disconnect where it's just like, almost like I said, transactional. You go, you have the play, you're done, and then there's no connection. And
although sometimes you do make connections.
You do.
Yeah, like I had someone in when I was in my early to mid-20s, I met someone who was in their late 20s, early 30s, and you know, even though we met through kink stuff and fetish stuff, we are also like non-kink friends as well.
Yeah.
So sometimes that does happen where it works out. Not all the time though.
Yeah. For me, it's been largely not the case. Like there have been local people who I've connected with that I've made effort to try to like, hey, let's stay friends. Let's like have a connection outside of the play. Or like I've had zero like luck trying to like date somebody through these experiences. Like it just seems like they're looking to do that thing, and when you're no longer useful for that thing, they lose interest in you. So like,
yeah, that's true.
It's very hard to meet friends when you start with sex, and you like this whole Grindr phase that I went through was just like, somebody is interested in part of me, why aren't they interested in the rest of me? Like friendships, like trying to pursue them, trying to stay in touch with people, and they just give you nothing in return. And it's just, you get constantly stonewalled. You don't realize how much of a toll it takes on you over time. It just like crushes you internally. And then like, even through that, I've persevered and tried to build up my confidence. And usually when I'm like horny or playing, I'm very confident and very forward, but it's just like outside of that, it kind of causes issues for you where you don't realize that you have emotional problems and self-doubts about you being a person and not really loving yourself to the point where it just makes the experience unfun.
Yes. And adding on to that, because I've also experienced some of this, there are also others that, even though you guys have the same kink, they'll treat you as a sex object almost. I've had some guys where it's like, with, you know, my tickle and foot fetish. You know, it's like, show me your, like, the first message that I will get, the first message they're ever sending me, show me your feet, send pictures of your feet. And it's like, okay,
yep.
No hello, no how are yep. you doing?
I hate the use of sir.
Oh my God, yes.
Can I call you sir? I'm like, I don't know who you are. Like, this God. Is, I'm not going to go into this object. Like, I do like power dynamic play, but I don't want to do it with a stranger that I don't know. Like, let me.
And I also don't like it constantly, too. That's another
thing.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. My fetish interests vary pretty frequently. Like, tickling is very fun and it has opened a lot of doors for me for like engaging with other people and connecting with them and like having. Like getting access to the other fetishes that I have, but it is not something I want to do all the time.
I 100% agree. So in my late 20s and also still in my early 30s, when I was doing dom stuff with guys online, and it's mostly guys that are in their 20s that I see this happening, but also older too. You know, they'll want me to be like a master / dom for them, and they'll continue to be in what I call sub mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it and they'll be like that all the time. And although it's fine if, you know, we're both thinking of stuff, if we're just having a normal conversation, then you don't really have to call me sir or daddy or
it falls under role play, which is also very difficult to do when I live in. I've never really had a ton of privacy. Like, I have roommates and paper thin walls, or, you know,
yeah,
something like that. It makes it hard to like use that verbal role play aspect to it. And something I also find from Grindr is that people can never host. They always have to come to your place. So I'm like, okay, you can come to my place, but I have a roommate as well, so we'll have to be cool about it.
That's the issue that I have. I do not live alone either. And in the next year or two, I'm probably going to have more people living in this house. So it's like, okay, yes, if you want to meet up, you have to understand I can't host.
Yeah.
I don't know. It fathoms me sometimes that people are not willing to understand the other person's situation.
Yeah. And that's also just a fact of like changing times where housing is just so expensive that it's more common that you'll have roommates or live with family and stuff like that. So,
and also, I don't know if you had this, but I have this a lot. The times that I'm available and the times that I'm available, people are busy. The times that they're available, I'm busy as heck.
You will see that on Grindr too, is that people can't fathom that I have a day job and that I'm just not available during the day. And you'll meet a lot of like discreet people who are like sneaking out and doing things. And people, when I'm in a decent time frame, like the weekend or an evening, that's my time I'm free to do things. People aren't looking, but they'll be looking at like 2 or 3 in the morning, right before I go to bed. It's like, oh, you want to go do things? And like, I have work in the morning. I've already explained this to you. I can't.
Yeah, I can't. I have a hard time with evenings because I do a lot of things. And weekends is usually my time to run errands and do other stuff. So if someone wants to meet in the evenings or the weekends, that's like, I can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's also fine if they want to meet during the weekday too, but like, I have to plan around it. It can't just be a spontaneous, hey, are you free now thing. But if you're like, let's meet up next Tuesday, I could take like a long lunch or take an afternoon off and we can go do things. And I think that's
yes, fine. But
usually people don't like to plan.
Exactly. This goes back to what we were saying before in the beginning, where it's like they don't understand that you have a life.
Yeah. Like they're horny now and they want to do stuff now.
They think that there's no vanilla life.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not that they don't think it, they just don't care. They're mostly just focused on themselves.
Exactly. In that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I cannot tell you how many times I've had guys just disconnect from me just because my schedule doesn't work out for them.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we could still be friends online. We can still talk about stuff that we like. Just because we can't find a schedule doesn't mean we have to stop being connected.
Right.
And that I don't know. it makes me a little upset.
Yeah. I'm usually pretty direct about people out the gate that I even if we're not meeting up to engage in kinky play, it's like I prefer to know you in person because it's hard for me to engage with you as a screen name.
Exactly.
And like if and I know so, like, your name and I know who you are.
Yeah.
It's kind of easier to stay connected long term.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, like we said before, you don't know who's on the other end until you meet the person.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like we were saying before, the majority of the kink community is safe, but of course, in any community, you have bad apples that tend to ruin it for the others.
Yeah. I also just don't like to be somebody who's writing horny fan fiction for somebody through text where they're just like, let's chat about things first. And then I can clearly see they're just fishing for me to give them like spicy text that they can, you know, pleasure themselves to. It's just like, oh, you weren't actually looking to engage with me. You just wanted me to kind of do some fantasy fulfillment, which had you been honest about that, I may have engaged with it that way, but I can clearly see you're being dishonest about it.
That's what erotic literature is for.
Yeah. Or just like, if you want somebody to role play with you, be direct about it. Like, don't say that, oh yeah, let's meet, and oh, what are you going to do to me when we meet? And then I go off and they just keep asking questions about it. It's like, how about we just get together and talk about it? And it, like, that falls into the demisexual part of me too, where it's just like, I want to see you in person. I want to connect with you. And the experience, even if we don't actually play, is going to be better for me to know you as a person.
Yeah, that's true. I remember a few years ago when I was a pure switch, I met this guy who was close, and we did meet, you know, one time at a restaurant just to talk about what we like. Vanilla wise, we had a lot of things in common, but kink wise, you know, we decided that we're not the right match, which was fine. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of people aren't into doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, with your different experiences that you had, has it mostly been good experiences though?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say the number of times I've met up with somebody and regretted it have been few, very few. But also a lot of these experiences haven't been hyper memorable. Like I was like kind of listing out some of the things I've done in the past. I'm like, oh yeah, I did that thing. It clearly didn't stick around in my mind for too long. I had to kind of dig for it, but I've had like a variety of fun, different things I've done. Like, let's see. There was somebody I met up with who liked the idea of tongue bathing someone. So like I would literally just get tied up and he would spend hours just licking every inch of my body. And it was like a very fun experience, but it took me a moment to remember that it happened because we didn't really get that chance to connect. Hmm. Yeah, and I still have like regular people I see that for play even now, where it's just like, we kind of have this understanding. The term friends with benefits comes up, where it's not really like you're kind of friends. You're like associates is probably a better word for it, where
yeah,
you have this thing you like to do with each other and you meet up on a regular basis to do it.
Well, yeah, that's funny because I friendships in general with me, I always say that I compare my friendships to like a treaty between nations. that's the way I see my friendships.
Yeah. I personally want, like, I'm more of a, I don't have a ton of friends and I don't have really any family that I can lean on. And like the friends that I do have, I like to have like a close connection with them and kind of like stay in regular, you know, touch with them and share parts of myself with them that I don't with just like the casual people I meet in hobby places.
Yeah, definitely. I keep my small circle of friends close sometimes, but it's not a big one. And unfortunately, I have a lot of friends who don't like my kind of kinks. So I've always had to hide my kink friends from my non-kink friends, as it were.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of doing as well. Like my roommate is straight, And he is aware that I have guests over for sexual things. And I'm sure he's probably aware it's not just regular sex stuff at this point.
Yeah.
But I don't share with him the specifics of it. Like the most recent gathering I went to, I'm just like, it's a sex gathering. And I know like that might be something you'd be interested in, but there's more to it that I'm just not comfortable explaining what it is.
Yeah. I always hate when, you know, if I chat with someone about kinks, if they try to bring my vanilla life into it, that gets so annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've experienced that, but I've experienced that way too many times.
So largely the people that I meet for Kinky Play, they don't really communicate with me as friends do. Growing up, obviously kinks, especially feet related stuff, was very stigmatized or joked about. And it still kind of is to today. Same. It's just more forefront.
Yeah.
The people that are in my personal life, I don't feel comfortable because I don't want them to see me in that same way, like the way that they probably even personally kind of make fun of for. And then there, I went to the first gathering that I ever went to a month ago, and it's in the New York, upstate New York area. And it was a very transcendent experience where it's just like, you go to this place and there was over 90 people in total who attended. And there, the whole thing is just like a social fun party where everyone has kinky interests and it's very normalized. You don't feel uncomfortable seeing it happen or talking about it. It normalized it and was just so refreshing to be able to be around these people. And like some people have their personal lives kind of separate. Me personally, I don't mind kind of sharing my real life, background and who I am, as long as it's not going to be, a potential problem for me in terms of like work or things. But
yeah, there are lines though. Like recently I had someone, I was chatting with someone on FetLife just last week, and they were interested in bondage, feet, tickling, stuff like that. And that's fine with me. But then the guy wanted to know, because we were both bi, and he wanted to know if I had family members into this stuff.
Yeah, that's totally a line you draw.
I asked him why he wanted to know that, and he said he would be really interested in like tying up like me and like a brother I have, or like a cousin or a sister, or
they have to know that's so unlikely to ever happen.
Exactly. And and plus it's also a fine line too. Like, okay, yeah, I have family members with nice feet. Yes, that's fine. But I would never think of doing anything creepy, as it were, to them.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I get approached by certain kinks that I already know I have no interest in engaging. And like, there are kinks I know I don't want to engage in, kinks that I'm kind of curious and would be willing to try at least once. And then there are things I know I like. And then when somebody ever tries to cross that line of kinks I don't like, I'm very clearly communicating with them. It's like, no, this isn't something I'm willing to do. And that bucket can be as large as like what you're saying, the family incest stuff that they're clearly interested in.
Well, it's not only just that, but it's also when you know your friends and family wouldn't be into that stuff, you're trying to tell the person, well, even if I am into this stuff, my friend would not be, or it's hard for them to wrap their minds around that.
Mm-hmm. I've lost track of the number of people who realize I have a roommate and they asking, oh, are they going to join us? I'm like, no, they're straight. It's not going to happen. Stop asking.
Yeah. I don't know. It's also hard. Like I remember one time, I had to send a picture to someone cause we were exchanging pictures of ourselves and I couldn't find a good enough picture of me. So I just tried to crop out. I'm horrible at cropping out pictures. So I kind of cropped out. So I have nieces and nephews that are around the same age as me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a picture of myself that was really good, along with my one niece who's like a year older than me. So we're both like, at the time I was like 29, she was 30. I was talking to this one bi guy who wanted to have me tied up for, tickling and stuff like that. And because of the way that I had to crop out, like if I cropped her entirely out, you wouldn't be able to see me. So it kind of showed her a little bit. And because he was bi, he was like, oh, I would love to have the girl in the picture with you, tied up naked with you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you do know we're related.
Yeah. As soon as I see a photo of myself with somebody else in it, like it, if I can't crop it, like you said, I don't bother because I know they're going to inquire about the other person.
Exactly. Which is rather rude.
Yeah, of course. And
like it would be rude even if I weren't blood related, but at the same time, like knowing that I was also blood related would kind of make it worse.
Yeah. I think there's like a polite way to approach that, but I think you should also have common sense that if somebody's showing a picture of themselves with somebody else in it, they're likely not, you know, potential.
Oh, one guy went even further one time. One guy even wanted me to give the address of a cousin that I have.
I was like,
you fucking think that I'm going to give you a fucking address to a
Yeah. That's also there are some upsides to Grindr. One of them is the block button. You block somebody, you never have to interact with them ever again. And if I feel like somebody is not, you know, they've crossed a line and I'm not willing to talk to them anymore, you just block and you're done with them.
Well, it also goes by, you know, there are creepy people out there too. What we were saying before, you know, like if one of these, you know, bi doms sees, you know, my cousin or someone, you know, and then all of a sudden they get the idea of finding them, you know, then all of a sudden my cousin is bound and gagged in some basement. You know, you never know who's out there.
It might be the privilege of having more options and more access to play partners, but I can usually suss out somebody who's kind of in that groove pretty quickly. They are usually people who are unwilling to share information about themselves. They won't really show pictures or give information about themselves. And again, I'm quick to move on. Like I'm not wasting my time with people who are going to do stuff like that.
Yeah. There have been, I have had a few, not recently, but mostly in my 20s. I had a few conversations where it got creepy rather quick. And I'm like, okay, these people are giving the kink community a bad name for talking about creepy shit.
It doesn't help, especially anonymity empowers them. And sometimes it's not just the strangers who could be potentially dangerous. Like I've been big most of my life. I think like my peak weight was like 425 pounds. And since then I've lost over 100 pounds, and like, it's still like, I'm still working on building confidence. And I've had a few partners, people like boyfriends and people I've dated. And some of those experiences can be pretty dangerous too. Like I think my first boyfriend I ever had, I probably had the most dangerous, kink encounter that I've ever had with anyone. Where there was drugs involved. Like I had been drinking a lot, and a lot of this was just on me. Like I know I overdrank to try to enjoy the experience more. But there was a point where I knew things were not going well. Like he was trying to pressure me to do cocaine for the first time, and I wasn't interested. And I'm glad he didn't like force it on me at that point, but he kept pressuring. There was a point where I knew I had drinking so much that potentially alcohol poisoning was a factor, because I threw up. And that was a lovely time to learn that he had a puke fetish. Nothing happened with it, but he's just like, he saw me puke, and I'm like, okay, now he's going to realize I'm not in shape. And he just got more turned on. And that experience resulted with me like not really able to have my own faculties. Like I didn't have the ability to make decisions for myself. So like I ended up laying on an inflatable mattress in a cold kitchen. This was the first time he wanted to get into water sports, like pee play. So cold, naked kitchen on a rubber mattress. He used his open oven to heat the room. I was urinated on, and I genuinely thought I might have died that night. And after some time of like being in that situation and sobering up, I was able to like collect myself, rinse off, and leave.
Oh my God.
So sometimes it's the people you trust that, or people you know more than strangers that can put you in a dangerous situation.
Yeah, that's really out there.
Yeah. And that's kind of the incident that sparked me to move away from any sort of drugs. Like, I'll have an occasional drink, but I know some of your guests in the past have talked about using drugs to kind of enhance sexual experiences. And it's not for me. I think there's certain lines, obviously, too. Like, I think a very common thing is that people enjoy tickling more when they're high or they've, you know, smoked or done some type of CBD type thing. And I think that's perfectly fine. But for me personally, I like to be clear headed.
Same here. Yeah, I know. I don't like to get down on what people use. But for me, same thing. I don't like to use any kind of substance with kink. Mm-hmm. Like
I'm already horny enough. I don't need to elevate my mind. Like, I've been with people in the past who, so with the foot fetish thing, if somebody I like or find attractive, or just even if it's just their feet that are attractive, they put their feet on my face, I go into like catatonic mode where I'm just like in complete heaven and I don't need anything else.
Yeah, same. You know, like yes, I do take CBD, but you know, there's no THC in it and it's mostly for my mood.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't do it to get high.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily even like judging other people for choosing to. I think there's a certain line that even I won't be with somebody if they're doing hardcore things, but if you need a little something, that's fine. It's just not something that I need. So
it also feels like I'm taking advantage of the person if they're high and I'm not. Like at least that's what I think.
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe drunk would probably fall into more, but high is more. I think that people are higher a little bit more like, mentally, you know, available at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I know one guy to get himself horny, he would try poppers.
Yeah, that's been a weird thing for me too. I have them, I use them on occasion, but they just kind of give me a little bit of a head rush and I don't like it.
Yeah, because I remember, I forget where I met him through, but he would sometimes send me like short videos of like his feet or him naked or something. And he would always have to take poppers first though.
Yeah.
Like, he would get off.
I actually remember I was with somebody who needed that too. And they had like a gas mask set up, and I'm a good multitasker, as I've been told recently through a play encounter, but that having to operate a gas mask and poppers while trying to do like three other things, I need a team for this. I can't just do it myself. Like, I understand that you need this, but we need to figure something that works for just me doing all this.
Exactly. Some people aren't good multitaskers like me. I'm not a good multitasker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Again, we're not getting down on people, but at the same time, it's like, well, not everyone is like them.
Yeah, it's just like in certain cases it's like, what am I capable of doing? Like, can I accommodate the thing that you want? Like, on a personal level, can I like feel ethically good about it? And am I physically able to do it is kind of where I'm coming from specifically.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That's why I don't try to tell people what I take, because they think that I'm using it to get high or to get horny or stuff, and that's not true.
Yeah.
In my case. Mm-hmm. So like you know, like recently with the CBD stuff, you know, I recently started taking it in January. And you know, I explained to someone about it online, you know, like, yeah, I do have, like, you know, I was doing the full disclosure about my autism, and I was like, but I do take like CBD stuff. And the first thing that they reply back with is, oh, you take CBD stuff. Oh, that's great to get high on. And I'm like, I take the one that doesn't have the THC. It's mostly for my mood.
Yeah.
Like their immediate gut response was, oh, he likes to get high when sexual.
I think also like just over the last maybe 5-10 years, the public viewpoint on that type of drug specifically has changed so much. Like, it's not some like niche thing that certain people can gain access to. It is very widely accepted. There's businesses everywhere for it. So I see the landscape of that changing even now continuously. So
exactly. You know, if I go northeast of my house, there's a CBD store like not even 10 minutes away. If mm-hmm. I go south, there's two of them within a half hour away. You know, it's more common.
Yeah, less stigmatized, more understood, which is definitely a good thing, especially given it was a long time coming for that.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the reason why I don't tell people that I do this, though, is because they think that you do drugs and they think, oh, we can include drug play and sex.
Yeah.
When that's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, where has been, this is something that I like to ask sometimes. What is the farthest amount of distance you've traveled for like kink play in the past?
So whenever I get this come up, this comes up quite a bit where it's just like, I am talking with someone in certain places like Recon, and I don't really use FetLife, but I'm sure that's the case with them too.
Yeah,
where it's just like you have a general idea of somewhere where someone is. Like, I'm in this state. I'm like, okay, can you tell me a town somewhere near you so I can get a general idea of travel time? And if it's anything beyond an hour, probably not going to happen. I think the most I have traveled is like 45 minutes. And I'm like, I need to make sure I plan out for this because this is going to be a big thing for me. I would say like 45 mm-hmm. minutes is my threshold.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I have that rule too. Like if you're over an hour and 15 from where I am, unless you can come to me, I'm not going.
Yeah.
Like if they want to come to me, then that's fine with them. Like if they want to do 2-3 hours and come to me, that's on them. But no way am I doing that.
Yep. And like if I'm driving 45 minutes to an hour, there better be something very special about this encounter that is something that would make me want to go to it. It can't just be something simple. Like
yes, and worth it.
Yeah. Like there's an adult male couple that I know that's about 45 minutes away, and we've met up and played with each other. But that situation was a threesome situation. There was another person in feet and into tickling, and the other person was more submissive, but he had very large, amazing feet. So it's just like we have this like fun dynamic, and we can all like hang out with each other. And like that was, you know, more interesting to me. So I was more willing to drive further to go to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the sometimes the cost have to outweigh the means or something. And I don't know the right word.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's like I have had some people come to me, which is fine. Like, you know, like I said before, I don't live alone, so it's hard, as you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people come to me in the past, which is fine. Yeah. And you know, if they're close enough to me, I have met them near their place. Mm-hmm. I've even tried, you know, even though it's risky, I've tried even car play in the past.
Yeah, I've done that a bit too.
Yeah. You know, it's a bit riskier, but it is worth it, in my opinion, if you don't get that many meets.
Yeah, it's kind of car play specifically has been kind of uncomfortable for me. It's like it does have that risk, which there's a bit of an exhibitionist interest of mine, but it's not. I think I have kinks that I enjoy in theory or seeing in action, but I don't actually want to participate in them, and that is probably one of them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, whenever I do car play, I always make sure that the area is not heavily traveled.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I've done parking lot play, but it's not on like a sunny day where people are out and about. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, you know, late fall, maybe winter, you know, where it's rather safe to. Yeah. Plus, even then, you know, I would, even if it is, I tend to find somewhere that's like hidden out of the way. Mm-hmm. This way, it's not as noticeable.
Yeah. I've done something similar where I've met up with somebody who was willing to let me worship their feet, and we'd be in the front seat and they'd be in the driver's seat or the passenger seat, kind of keeping an eye out for things. But we'd be parked in like a bank parking lot between cars where it was like late at night and people just like left their cars there for the night or something. So it's just like, keep an eye on things, and then we can kind of quickly transition if someone's coming. So it's not ideal.
Yeah, I've had to do that too. Same thing.
I like to be comfortable. I like to have like an isolated space, or something I am interested in doing more like public play in like these gatherings. More specifically, is like engaging in spaces that everyone is aware that's what's going to be happening, and enjoying that more too. But something more controlled, and not something like meeting in a car or, you know, out in the woods or something like that. It's not really my jam.
Yeah, I've known people who are into woods play, and that doesn't really interest me either, because I'm not a fan of the woods.
Right. Yeah.
Like it is remote enough, which is fine by me, but at the same time, it's like not really into doing sexual things with nature, even if it's just feet and tickling stuff.
Yeah, it's too dirty. There's nowhere comfortable. Like, there's ticks exactly. Everywhere. It's not ideal.
Exactly. Bless God forbid it's hunting season and a hunter comes across and is like, okay, that's it. How was your day, honey? Oh, well, I found two guys.
doing weird stuff in the woods.
I don't know. Yeah, not the kind of fantasy that plays out in these porn videos.
Yeah, definitely not. Like I said to you in our kind of the pre-show, is that I'm a pretty open person and very curious. So I'm definitely willing to try new things. And I think that that curiosity and that openness has led to a lot of unique experiences through Grindr. And like, as you have these experiences, you become more experienced, I guess is the best way to say it, where you feel more confident in doing these things because you have a history in it. Like, if someone's like, I'm into this, this, and this, I'm like, okay, yes, I've done that. I understand what you're looking for, and I can help you with that. Like, it's not so much a go in and kind of like try things and see if it works out for you. It's like you know what you're doing as you do it more.
Yeah, definitely. Have you, with your experiences, have you ever tried role playing, or is that a component you don't usually go to?
I am not the theatrical type, and it is hard for me to role play, especially with strangers. I was actually just having a conversation about this with a friend of mine, where he's like, oh yeah, I was dating someone for a while and we decided to try some role playing, and it just kind of felt awkward because we know each other. But for me personally, it's hard. Like I said, I don't really have the privacy, so the verbal play of it is difficult. There are aspects that I find interesting. Like, I have certain role play interests, but executing on it has been tricky.
Yeah. So with your role play interest, do you see it more as like using it just to find content wise, not actually doing it yourself, but just to see it for content, maybe?
I guess it depends on what we're talking about as role play. So I kind of think of it as any type of scene in which there is a clear non-sexual dynamic that's not obvious. So there is a friend of mine who I still see regularly that is a straight man who enjoys being tickled.
Yeah.
But he knows that I like feet, and I kind of like revealed this to him, where I have this like sleepy fetish, I guess is what I'll say. So how these sessions always start is that he will fall asleep. I don't know if he's actually fully asleep or not, but he will be asleep when I arrive, and I come to his place, the door's unlocked, and I go in and I get to play with his feet for a bit before waking him up with tickles. So I would consider that kind of role play. I guess in the more traditional way would be like, we're doctors, or you're like, I have some power dynamic over you, and we're like playing these roles as characters. I think that's maybe more traditional, whereas mine is more situational.
Yeah, I do get into some kind of situational. I think I do a mixture of both. Mm-hmm. Like I remember one time in one of the rare cases I did meet with someone, you know, we decided to do a role play, and it was more like a foot tickle bandit kind of role play, where like he pretended to obviously be asleep, and you know, like I would like you know, tease and playfully tickle his feet while he was sleeping, but then eventually he would like quote wake up unquote, and you know, I'd like hand gag him and stuff like that, you know.
Like, so I'm totally open to that. It I just think the circumstances have to align and the environment has to align, and it obviously would help me more if it's not just some stranger I'm meeting for the first time.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah.
It's always going to be awkward. So
this person I've known for a few years though at the time. So it was easier to do.
Mm-hmm. And then there's like the more common like dom sub situation where you're just like playing this role as this person where you're submissive or you're more dominant. I think that's something pretty common I've encountered too.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I don't know. It goes back to like the dom and sub thing we were talking about earlier in the episode. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the very few times that I've tried that in person, it starts out well, but then we just eventually do our own thing together.
I like it more when there's less. Apart. I like it more when there's less of a verbal element to it. I think that's kind of where it gets me, where you're kind of like playing a character in a show versus like embodying a role. So like probably the most, like when I was thinking back to these experiences that I've had before, I think the most memorable one was with an older man who would be my dom and I would be the sub to them, but there wasn't any verbal activity to it. Like I would go in, he would explain what I was going to do and I would just do it. And probably the two most hottest encounters I can think of were the first one was where he would be sitting on the couch fully clothed and I would have to get naked and lay on my back on the floor in front of it. And he would use my face as a footstool and expect me to remain erect the whole time. And I was on that floor for over 2 hours and he fell asleep at one point with his feet on my face. And that is definitely one of my top experiences that I've ever had.
That's common than you think though. I know a lot of people who want me to use their face as a footrest.
Yeah. I mean I probably would too. I think that type of play is fun. Like it's like, there's not a pressure to perform and it's more like there's a thing. Like I do agree with what you were saying pre-show too, where it's a little difficult to do it with people that you don't know or you're not connected with, but with this person in particular, I did know them a bit. So it wasn't some weird, strange thing and it was fun.
I had one guy want to role play that online one time. And I'm like, dude, how are we going to role play you being my footrest online?
Well, you got to be good at writing.
Trust me, I am good at writing. I do. So on top of this, I also am a erotic fetish author. And trust me, I write good. People love my stories. And even I cannot conceive a simple type role play of just being a footrest. Like in person, it's different. In person, I could do that. But if it's just online chatting through like Skype or something, not even like voice chatting, just type chatting, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want to do that either. I think in person, there's no experience that comes close to it. And I'm more willing to do things in person, obviously, than I am just over chat.
And also, like, you know, yes, I've role played with chat a lot of times in the past. But when I started having more in-person experiences, doing the online chat stuff for role playing didn't excite me anymore.
Yeah.
And it was hard to explain to people who haven't had that many experiences why I wasn't into that.
Yeah. No, I fully understand that. And I think they know what they're looking for. Usually they're on the DL. They might have a partner or they might be married or something or whatever their situation is. They have the pressures of their family or society where they just can't be out about what they want to do. So they have to kind of find ways like that to do it or, you know, fantasize about it.
The one that I was telling you about the footrest, I occasionally still chat with him sometimes. We don't do any more role play online. He is straight but loves male feet. And his thing is wanting to be a footrest. He's into being a tickler, and a tickly he's a switch as far as tickling goes, but he's really, really into being a footrest, even more than tickling.
Yeah.
And because he hasn't had a lot of experiences in person, he mostly does this through online means. And I just, you know, I was confused as to how I could be a footrest on an online role play. That kind of doesn't add that much detail. to the imagination.
No, it's difficult. And like my experience, I wasn't really imagining myself being a piece of furniture than I was just kind of like in this situation where I didn't really like giving up power is definitely part of kink that I enjoy on occasions with certain people where it's just like, I feel powerless. That tickling kind of overlaps with that too, where it's just kind of like you're stuck and you have to kind of give yourself to this person who's with you.
Yeah. I would never like it, even though I would have no problem resting my feet on like a sub's face or something, like I wouldn't want to pretend that they're a piece of furniture. I would most rather, like, because I'm rather verbal, like I would probably like verbally tease them while my feet were in their face. Like that would be more interesting for me than just plopping them on and just ignoring them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something I kind of learned from going to gatherings is that there are, and just like paying attention to the people that I'm playing with, is just that there is no one way to experience a fetish or a kink. There are levels. There are people who like heavy tickling, light tickling, or they're looking for certain circumstances, and like understanding that there are way more layers to something other than, oh, I like tickling, and then you just automatically assume exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It is rather interesting. It also, one thing that I also find interesting is going back to like fantasies and stuff like that. A lot of people love to get their kinks through erotic literature, especially if they don't have regular sessions.
I was just talking with somebody that may have, I was talking with somebody recently who said that they have started pivoting more towards literature too. And I think that's definitely interesting.
Yeah. I consider myself an amateur erotic fetish author. Except I haven't written that many stories in recent years. I used to write a lot, but sadly I don't have the time to anymore. You know, it amazed me how popular my fetish stories were. It baffled me because like here I'm just sharing stuff that I find interesting with fantasies, and I thought I'm just sharing it just to get people to know me more, and people end up liking it.
Well, if you've ever been to a book aisle in any like store or something, you know, like a lot of these romance novels are essentially kind of that. They're writing this sexual fantasy for people who enjoy it, and I totally get that. Like my background with reading, like that type of material, I'm not a big reader. I grew up on video games. I'm definitely not, I know I'd probably get like a thumbs down from the intellectual community, but I don't really enjoy reading as much. I find it more difficult, but I totally see like people being able to use their imagination to live out these experiences through reading, which they probably do. They read other things too, which they probably just kind of made that leap over.
Yeah, I've had in the short amount of time period that I did write like fetish stories for like both gay, bi, straight, etc. You know, a lot of people were commenting on which characters they loved, what scenarios they loved, wanted, like, believe it or not, I had a lot of people wanting return characters. It was something that I never thought would happen.
That's something that I think that I would enjoy more out of like sexual content consumption, is that there are TV situations where they just don't really cover the sex part of things. And then there's porn, but there isn't really a good in between where you're like, you have these characters where you understand them, but there's a more heavy focus on the sexual stuff they do together. I don't think there's a lot of places where you can get and consume that content that it's done well.
It also depends on what the reader base likes. Like when I was writing kink stories, my reader base loved the buildup more than the actual action.
Oh, for sure. And when I say that, I wasn't even referring to reading. It was all like video content, but reading would probably slot into that spot really well because you have to know these you know, these characters. It's like, if you're just reading like multiple chapters of sex acts, and you're just, it doesn't sound like a story. It just sounds like a sex book.
Yeah. Or just a detailed journal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, what other things were you interested in talking about?
So kind of back to discussing the three eras of sexual like things for me, is just like Grindr has been that middle section where it's just like, there have been people that have found certain parts of me interesting, and I've had these experiences. Or I would say, like, even in the middle of that, I was starting to feel that after the sex was done and there was just this immediate disconnect, that it was a bittersweet moment for me, where it's just like, I had fun, but now I feel bad. And that was a very constant thing that was happening, where it's just like, I know I'm going to feel sad after this is done, because why can't there be anything more than this? And there was this one experience I had where, I've done this with a few different people, but, where you get tied up, like fully immobilized. Like I've been like in different levels of bondage play, but you're essentially immobilized, and you're tickled and you're teased and edged. And then, there's a lot of kissing involved. There's a lot of intimacy, and then, like orgasm, post-cum torture, just like all this fun stuff happening. And then like, you feel like you have this amazing connection with somebody, but then when the play is done, you realize, oh, there's nothing going to come out of this. And like each time that would happen, it would just get, the feeling would get worse and worse and worse. And I feel like that was kind of a, like going to that most recent gathering in New York was just like, that was a turning point for me, where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like I for the longest time, I didn't realize how much damage this was kind of doing to me emotionally. So I like meeting with these people and being able to bond with them as people, not as just like these play partners, has been great for me. Like this was a mixed gender gathering that I went to. So it was just like, you can talk with people without this pressure to have play, and you can, you know, learn about them, learn about their experiences, learn, you know, tips from them on what they've been doing, or just like play fun games with them that aren't sexual. And like, I want more of that. I think that finding community is something even like modern day that is difficult. Like communities are few and far between and harder to connect to. And that's just something I feel like I've been missing my whole life. So being able to find a community, connect with them, and like start viewing sex and fetish play as a means of being with people and connecting with them, and not just this fun, emotion-free thing. And it's not the same case for everyone, but for me, I'm definitely using Grindr less now. I keep up with a few friends on there. I've changed my profile to say I'm not looking for immediate hookups, like let's be friends. And I know that's likely not going to go anywhere, and people still send me dick pics right out the gate, but like that moment was like a huge part of me like growing and realizing what I want from kinky play.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Plus it ties, I think it also ties in with what we were talking about before, with like safety reasons too.
Mm-hmm.
As well. Because like I said, you know, one major topic, as you know, and I said this before, you know, one major topic that keeps coming up in these episodes that I do, it's safety.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you talk about it, I don't think people, like, even though they say they know about it, I don't think they realize it in that moment.
Yeah. And like you learn things like, and being more connected with a community, you feel like you're taking less risks, or you have people to talk to about things. Like largely my experience has been with like these one-off encounters of people that are scattered. And I feel like what they need more, if they want to really embrace this fetish that they have, is to find other people and share with them and not feel like you're alone.
Yeah, that's true. Especially with the amount of shaming going on too.
Yeah.
With people, especially with people who are individuals who don't have a community locally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm thinking of myself, for example, who was, you know, shamed in his early 20s. You know, it you know, for those kind of people, you know, there needs to be a stronger community.
Definitely. Yeah. And these communities that I'm aware of, they're just like, they're first and foremost, like there's no shaming. Like we're here to support each other. We're here to normalize this and connect over this. And largely my experience has been positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. yeah, it's, yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, there is. Yeah, I totally lost my train of thought now. anyway, moving on. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. I think I covered the gist of it. Just kind of like talking about my experiences with, you know, engaging with kink. Like, I feel like I'm more of a side. I intercourse based sex isn't. It can be the case, like growing up large, you kind of, people assume and you just kind of accept that, oh, you're a bottom. Like, no, I it took me a long time to learn. Like, I don't enjoy this no matter how well I approach it. Like, I will occasionally top other people. I think that's something I've also been kind of learning about myself, but largely I'm a side.
I know a lot of large guys who are tops.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, you're fat, you have to be a bottom, is just like something that was kind of ingrained in me, especially through this grinder culture. So it's just like, learning about yourself, learning what you like.
Oh, no. When I was in my 20s and I was doing more of a switch thing, you know, some of the tops that I would want to find are the larger ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that I really enjoyed. And, you know, to think that just because you're large, you need to be a sub, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah. You have to have that like room to experiment and grow over time. Like like I said, I'm still learning things about what I'm interested in, what other people like. So it's just like, it's an ongoing thing. You just have to like keep an open mind and pursue it and just understand that things aren't always black and white.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of gray, and unfortunately no one wants to look into that grayness.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. So I guess that, unless you had anything else to discuss.
No, I don't think so. I think we covered the most of it.
Okay. Well, that will be it for this episode. Thank you so much for being on.
Yes. Thank you for inviting me. It was definitely fun to meet you and chat.
Yes, most definitely. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks.
And...